You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've wanted to do an episode on faith for quite some time. I've not gotten to it until now because every time I sat down to write out a script for it, I just really didn't know where to start, what angle I should come in at it from. But the other day, I was out with friends and we were having a chat, and our discussion led to the topic. And it also then led to some clarity for me in my approach and how to do this particular episode. So to start, I'm not actually going to talk about faith at all. I'm going to talk about trust, because that's actually what led to me realizing, oh, I finally got a way to talk about faith. Specifically, it was how my friend described trust while we were talking. I thought it was really, really helpful. They were saying that they notice people equate trust with some sort of idea of goodness or virtuous or positive qualities. Like, it's assumed if I say I trust Penny, then that means that Penny is likely to do good. But as my friend pointed out, you might trust Penny to lie, or you can always trust that Penny will never be on time, or that Penny is going to gossip. To have trust is simply to rely upon. What we're relying upon isn't necessarily something virtuous. It's simply knowing with pretty good accuracy from experience how someone will behave or react or how a situation will go. So that's trust. And I wanted to describe it because trust is an element of faith. So faith. Faith gets a bad rap, by and large. The religious connotations of it can be off-putting for many. I understand this. I used to have an aversion to the word until I read Sharon Salzberg's book of the same title, which was Faith. It totally changed my understanding of faith because she looks at faith as part of reason, reflection on personal experience, and our ability to consistently work with our mind. For me, faith suddenly became something incredibly helpful, as well as totally practical. I continue to examine the word and the role that faith has in my life to help me explain it better, and also because it does have a lot of really good benefits. And at the moment, my favorite example to use in explaining my understanding of faith is in the terms of my marriage. I have faith that my wife and I will be together for the rest of our lives. I've been in past relationships where I did not have that faith. I know what that feels like to not have that sense of certainty. I didn't genuinely believe that we'd make it, and, well, we didn't. But with my wife, I do. I can genuinely picture growing old with her because of what I've got to go on. I trust, from experience, that we're really good at communicating. I've seen how compatible we are. I've watched us deal with incredibly challenging situations. We take them in stride. We work well together as a team. We're consistently open about talking about even very difficult things. I can't prove to anyone that we'll definitely spend the rest of our lives together. There's no formula I can offer or mathematical equation that I can present to show this, but I also know how I feel and my certainty isn't based on mythos or sentimentality or even just my gut. Faith is trusting in our experience and what that has taught us to make a pretty accurate assessment of what will come next. I have faith in the longevity of our marriage because there's so much about this relationship that is fundamentally different than the ones that I've had in the past. I trust my capacity to have learned from past relationships, and I apply what I've learned to this one. I think when people say that they don't like faith, what they're really saying is they don't like blind faith. Blind faith is taking someone else's word for something. The faith I'm talking about, genuine faith, comes from reflections on our own experience, not when someone else tells us. This was what Sharon Salzberg opened my eyes to with her book. She was saying that it's not enough to listen to someone else tell us we'll be okay, or life will get better, or time heals everything. We have to try things out for ourselves. Test stuff out. See what works, what consistently improves our outlook, our attitude, feeds our happiness and joy. In doing so, we can see that showing up for ourselves helps. We can't absolutely scientifically prove that we'll be okay, but from my experience of working through mental illness, for example, finding solutions and ways to approach anxiety and depression that didn't involve avoidance or suppression, I now have faith that I'll never end up hospitalized due to a mental breakdown ever again. I trust that I'll do the work because I have faith that I feel better over time because experience has shown me this. And because I do feel better over time, when I meditate daily, when I contemplate and practice the Dharma, when I eat well, when I exercise regularly, when I get enough sleep, when I honor how I feel instead of beating myself up for how I feel, this all makes my faith grow because I consistently feel more stable and able to cope. There's no mathematical formula. I can't absolutely guarantee to anyone that I won't have another mental breakdown. But I have pretty damn strong faith that I won't. So this is talking about faith on an individual and personal level, and kind of turning all of that, the whole idea, any ideas we might have about faith, on its head. And now I want to go a little bit bigger. I'm going to talk about faith in humanity. I regularly see stuff online that talks about restoring faith in humanity and destroying faith in humanity. Someone experiences something awful at the hands of another individual, and that's it. Their faith in humanity is gone. Someone posts a bunch of wonderful photos of people rescuing adorable animals, and then, oh, yay, that helps us restore our faith in humanity. That's a lot of back and forth and a lot of black and white thinking. Kind of exhausting. The statement itself, faith in humanity, assumes humanity is virtuous, or should be virtuous. Like, to be human is to be good, to be inhuman is to be bad. It's very limiting, and it doesn't encompass the fullness of human experience, emotion, and behavior. As Elizabeth Mattis Namgal says, we were never just one way to begin with. I talk about this a lot in the episode I did called Basic Goodness, which I recommend that you listen to. To be human is to want to be happy, to not suffer. Our default is not violence or compassion. Our default is to seek happiness. As Pema says, no one does anything because they want to feel worse. I've tested this thoroughly and intend to continue to test it for the rest of my life and invite you to do so as well. But as of right now, I have yet to see anyone act in a way that doesn't accord to this. So I trust people to be people, which is to say, I trust that people will act according to what they think will get them happiness and not lead them to suffer. I also trust that this means people will make choices that cause harm in an attempt to secure their own sense of happiness. And because people make up humanity, I have faith that humanity is capable of incredible evil, just as I have faith that humanity is capable of incredible compassion and kindness. I trust that when people work with their minds, I can have faith that they'll develop self-awareness and also compassion. I trust that if people truly look at themselves, they would better understand others, and I have faith that the result would lead to more peace. I can just as easily say I have faith that humanity will destroy itself if we don't learn to see how aggression only creates more aggression. I really do have faith that our default is not violent at all. Despite what dystopian literature, which is fictional, remember, might claim, I don't actually see very many examples of people tearing each other down when faced with great adversity. When the 2013 flood happened in Calgary, people opened their homes to those who were evacuated, and thousands of volunteers turned out to help clean up. When Hurricane Katrina hit, people put out electrical cords for people who were without power so they could charge their devices, so they could stay in touch with friends and family and loved ones. When the tsunami hit Japan, I saw footage of people helping each other, pulling each other from the rubble. We hear stories of huge sums of money raised from around the world in a matter of hours to help out a country people potentially have never even been to when they've been devastated by some sort of natural disaster. We hear about vigils that are held in solidarity for communities devastated by hate crimes, of one religious group showing up to protect another religious group in their practice. It's really easy, because of the news and what we're presented with, to focus on the animosity and not notice how often we take care of each other. But it is really human to do so. Just as it is human to see our differences as threatening. But because of the consistency of seeing how we take care of each other, because there are far fewer conflicts today than there were even 100 years ago or in the Middle Ages, I have faith that humanity can see the benefit of taking care of each other. That taking care of each other is taking care of ourselves. That we can see if our neighbor is happy and they feel safe, have all their basic needs met, we'll feel happy. Basically, to have faith is to trust in what our experience tells us, what we understand about the world around us based on what came before, and how that's a really good determining factor of the direction that we're going. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.